Okay, then we talked about having a flyer, and we're in the business of creating flyers. I mean, why not? We got people to get communicate to. We want to send them good information, and using the three tier, you have a statement up here with a hard hitting piece of information, not some big lengthy thing. And if you look at how the USA Today is written, you'll see it's perfect. Information jumps out at you. You can see they use lowercase in here, which is what we're talking about, lowercase. You know, and they got, here's one tier, a second tier, and the third tier. You know, so if you're not interested in that, then you don't need to read that, and that kind of thing. And that's the real way to get people to read stuff, because, you know, everybody gets reams of stuff sent to them, and they just don't want to spend the time digging through all that stuff. So use the three tier, and if you create something, make sure you use lowercase Arial font. That's the key. Make it really simple. Don't let the customer have to figure out what's in there. Give them that, not this, because this requires an extra mental process. If you know the customer, but you can't get any significant business, where do you go? You know the customer, but you can't get any significant business. What did we say yesterday? You go down to the lowest level in the account. Start at the bottom. We talked about providing value. Should know exactly where you can provide value. So you got to be looking at all these different things that do provide value to the customer. Get in there, ask them if there's problems that you could help them with, and make sure that you find out if this is the right person. You can go to sales sometime to get that. I want to take a look at this proposal, the sample proposal letter. Okay, let's go, if I can ask you to go to page 38. Page 38, down towards the bottom, it says your proposal. And we talked about this yesterday. Bigger is better. And we said you could include things like a VHS tape, a CD, graphics, demos, all different kinds of stuff in there. Tie in the future if possible. Make a bracket proposal. And that's the bracket proposal is where you have, you know, like the optional and the must things. So bracketing is here's what you want, but If you want something really cheap, you could have this, but we think you ought to have this. So we give a customer a low end, a middle end, and a high end. And you'd be amazed at how many customers move to the higher end. They'll say, oh, geez, I didn't even know you had that. So think about when you're making a proposal to a customer, can you bracket it? If you say this tooling package is going to cost you $1,200, the customer will say, I can't afford that. So that's why you bracket it. You give them a proposal at $600, one it's $1,200, and one it's $3,600. And you'd be amazed at how many times you'll sell the $3,600.
John, I got a cool question. I want to just make sure I'm understanding this. So, like, when I'm doing a proposal for a customer on a particular, I've been asked to do a proposal on a particular project for them.
Right.
You're saying instead of going in and laying this thing out in one package, give them multiple packages to choose from?
Right, right. Okay. And then what happens is it takes the emphasis off of the price of it, because it's impossible for somebody to say, well, your price is too high. Because you could say, well, then you buy the low-end package. Oh, no, I don't want the low-end package. I want all that stuff in the high-end package. That's what happens. And you start talking about how he can get the high-end, and he says, well, geez, you know, I don't need all of that stuff in the high-end. But it creates the true picture that you get what you pay for. You know, this is all stainless steel. If you want all stainless steel, that's why it's $3,600. If you want stuff that's going to rust and have a life of a year or 2 years, you know, that's why you buy the low end. You know, and so you start showing the value of the different packages.
I do that instinctively, putting those packages together.
Yes.
But what I do is I put it in a way that they can use this tool somewhere else in the shop too.
Okay.
So it's not just dedicated to that cell to run that particular job.
Yeah.
Because you never know when that job's going to be gone. You know,
right.
Contracts come and go. So if you give them an option where, you know, find a package that can be used on this cell, that cell, and it can be moved all around.
Right. That's a better thing for the customer, and it shows that you know what you're doing because you've helped them to see that there's flexibility in the tooling and so on and so forth. Okay, and a pie sweetener. When Donald Trump came to Detroit, it was totally brilliant. He partnered with Mel Farr, who's got a big car dealership business going on, used to be a superstar with the football, with the Lions. He wanted to get the casino here in Detroit, so he partnered with a local, which was totally brilliant. And then he came in and he said, look, if you let us do a casino here, we'll throw a pie sweetener in. And guess what his pie sweetener was? If you go around Detroit, you're going to see all these buildings that are just, they've been there since 1973, burned out and stuff like that. He's going to tear down, you know, and I have 5,000 buildings or something like that, and rebuild them with apartments and with large green belts. And I thought, man, that is totally brilliant, because just think about that. He gets his casino, which he's going to make tons and tons of money with the casino, and then they bulldoze part of the city, which needs to be done, but it's very expensive to do it. And then he owns the land and the property. And it just was totally great. But, you know, that was when Coleman Young was really running things. Or, you know, just the Detroit politics so screwed up, you know, that it was all about cronyism and things like that. And he was an outsider. And even with Mel Farr, just couldn't do it.